Let's read John chapter 17. We're moving, veering away tonight from Matthew. I read and studied a while in Matthew this week, but I just really decided I wanted to stay with a theme Sunday morning, talking about loving the lost. And then again, Sunday night, looking at Jesus as our model for reaching the world. And let's read some verses here from the Gospel of John tonight. And this is from, we've talked a lot about the Lord's Prayer, but this is the Lord's Prayer for the church, the Lord's Prayer for his disciples and for all of us who are disciples all these many years later. John 17, this is part of this prayer, John chapter 17 and verse number 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. I just want to ask you to pray about this month of March. Pray that the Lord, pray the same prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed. It's there in Colossians chapter 4, where he prayed and asked that the Lord would give him a door of utterance, that the Lord would give him an opportunity to speak and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. That was his prayer. Lord, give me a door. He prayed that prayer more than once in his writings. But a prayer, Lord, give me an open door. Give me a door of utterance. If you pray that prayer, Lord, give me an opportunity to talk to someone about the Lord. If you pray that prayer, and you also have coupled with that a commitment to the Lord. Lord, if you give me the opportunity, if you open the door, I will walk through the door. Because I'm not so sure that the Lord will open the door unless you have committed yourself. I'm willing to walk through the door and talk to someone about the Lord. We know from this prayer, this prayer was prayed for the disciples just before Jesus was going to be ascending and leaving this world. He knew he was leaving them behind, and he didn't want them to be left without help, without even though he physically wasn't going to be with them, he wanted them to understand that God was with them. He was seated at the right hand of the Father, was always going to be praying for them, always interceding for them. We mentioned this Sunday night, I believe, or maybe Sunday morning, about the church is the called out. But then another New Testament word is a word that means sent out. And the apostles, the apostolos, the apostles were the ones that were sent out. So we have been called out and also sent out to the world. Now notice, let's look at these verses here. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Isn't it interesting that the truth was planted in their hearts? They were instructed in the doctrines of Christ, and he gave them the truth, and the world rejected it. You can be sure that the world is pretty much in opposition to the truth of the gospel. They're going the opposite direction. They're not interested in the truth. It's only as they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that's going to change. But he said, I've given them the truth. The world hath hated them because they are not of the world. So that establishes that, that when you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are not of this world any longer as a follower of Jesus Christ. This world is not the controlling force in your life, or it should not be. It should not be that the world is what is dictating to you what I do or don't do, or who my friends are or not. But you're not of this world. Jesus said, just like I'm not of this world, so are my disciples not of this world. So it almost seems like a contradiction that in the same prayer that he prayed there in verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And so this is what he's praying a prayer. Lord, sanctify them by your truth. Help them to see that they're not of this world, but yet they live in the world. They live in the world, and they are to have an impact. They're to be able to touch the world and influence the world. I have put them in the world. So I pray not that they would be taken out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So it's not isolation. We're not isolated from the world. That's a big mistake, isn't it? But we are to be insulated. Isolated, but not insulated. Amen. That we would be, we'd understand that we are followers of Jesus Christ. This world is not, we're not of it, but we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're followers of his truth and his doctrine, and we don't live our life by the dictates of this world. This world is corrupt. This world is fallen. This world is condemned and will be judged. So we're not of this world, but we have been temporarily, for a time, we are right here in this world, aren't we? We're here. As they say, we are in it, not of it. And it's true. We are in this world. And so he prayed. That was his prayer. Lord, don't remove my disciples from the world, but keep them from the evil. So his prayer was, keep them in the world as an influence. And we know those scriptures that we've already went over a few weeks ago from Matthew, that we are to be the light of the world. We are to be the salt of the earth. We are to be impacting the world that is around us. But we need to pray, Lord, help me to not only be a part of the called out, but I also want to be one of the sent out. I want to be sent out to the world, to touch the world, to have an impact upon the world that is around us. And so he said, sanctify them through, let's read here, verse 16. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So one of the most powerful influences in our life has to be God's word. The word of the Lord has powerful sanctifying force in our life. His word sanctifies us. It sets us apart from the things of this world. We're not of the world, but yet here we are right here living in the world, and we're supposed to be in the world. I know it may seem a little bit like a contradiction, we're not to allow the world system to influence us or to affect us, but we're to be the influencer. We're to be the one that's having an impact upon the world that is around us. And it's the word of God, God's word, that sanctifies us. We are sanctified by the truth. The truth has that cleansing power to sanctify us, to cleanse us, to set us apart from the world. You fill up your heart and your mind with the truth of God's word, and you're not going to have nearly the interest in the things that this world has to offer. The truth is going to sanctify you in your thoughts, your mind, your heart, your desires. You're going to be set apart from the things of this world. The Word of God has that power to influence us and to sanctify us. And so we're here in this world. Are we just supposed to just occupy here or just spend our time and live out the days of our life and kind of in survival mode? No, not at all. Every day of our life has the potential, if we'll allow the Lord, if we'll do like I ask you to do here at the beginning, to pray, Lord, help me to see a door open. Would you open a door for me? And then when you open the door, give me the courage to walk through the door. Because that's another step. That sometimes we see the opportunity, but we feel too backward or bashful or reluctant for whatever reason to go ahead and to speak up for the Lord. But don't be ashamed of the Lord, but speak up for the Lord, no matter. And then understand that this is why we're here. We're here in this world for that very purpose. We have a task, a calling, a divine purpose, and that is to reach as many as we can for Jesus Christ here in these last moments of time. You know that Jesus, even when he's 12 years old, understood why he was in the world. He understood. He was just a child, actually, 12 years old, but he understood that he must be about his father's business. He was very young, but yet he had a grasp on his purpose and why that he was here. And that was all the way through his life and his ministry. And when it came down to the cross, he said, "It is finished." And when he said that, he wasn't just talking about his life. He was talking about the purpose for him being here in this world. My Father's business is done now. I have fulfilled what he has asked us to do. Amen. So I guess maybe you would want to ask yourself the question as, the weeks and the months and the years fly by. Are you utilizing your time, your talent, what God has given to you to reach out to the lost? Are you doing something that's really going to matter in the kingdom? And do you have a real sense of what your purpose is, what your calling is, what your ministry is? That's right. All of us, not just a few that are, you know, select that might be called to preach. But I'm talking about all of us who have this commission, this weighty burden that's upon us to make an impact in the world that is around us. Now, God's moving in the world. What he wants you and I to do is get in step with him. Get in step with what he's doing and what his purpose is. Find out what your assignment is. Where does God want you to be in the middle of that? And I think it's true in every person, every age. You might be young, you may be old, no matter what age you might find yourself in, what season in life, even in older age, asking the Lord, Lord, I may not be able to do a lot. I know that after Sunday night, one of the ladies said to me something like, well, if we can just put what you said into practice. And that's really what I'm talking about tonight, is just making it a reality in your life. Lord, open up doors so that I can proclaim the gospel. Otherwise, we're just spending our days. The hours fly by, the days go by, the weeks go by, and can you believe it? We're already in 2017 into March. Reflect on the last couple of months. What have you done that's made a difference in the kingdom's sake? What have you done that has had an impact upon the lives of people, those that are unsaved, sitting around there with with Carl and Judy Hacker today, and he was telling me about different ones that over the years he's run into, many different ones, that some that are in the ministry, some that are members of churches and are faithful attenders at different churches, and they first had their contact through Brother Carl's bus route, and he touched a lot of people through that bus route week after week after week. And now he said from time to time he'll run into someone, and someone will see him and say, you know, I know you, and then he remembers them when they were just a kid riding the bus, but now they're grown and they're attending some church, and they're, some of them even have stepped out into ministry. And it's what a rewarding thing to think that you did something for God that made a difference in the life and the future and even the eternity of someone, and maybe several people, because their influence goes on as well. It just goes on and on and on as you proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So God's working. We know that's true. So why don't we just get in step with what he is doing and find out what it is that he has called you to do? That's what your mission in life is. What is it that God wants me to do for my remaining days? And then give it your all. Pour everything you have into that, because there's nothing more important than touching the souls of men. Amen. The Apostle Paul, he took on the same kind of a vision and a purpose. Acts 20 and 24. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. He understood. I'm on a journey. He was making this analogy of a race. I've got a race to run. I've got a mission to accomplish. And I'm not letting anything distract me from my purpose and calling that he has given to me. I finished my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul spent the rest of his days in this world doing just that. Wherever he was, if he was on a boat that was about to shipwreck, if he was being held in prison, whatever the circumstance, if he was debating in the synagogues, wherever he was at, he was proclaiming the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he was on a mission to fulfill his life calling and his life purpose. Now, many times we think of this, well, that's a general thing, and that's, you know, that's the church that does all of that. And it's true that we have a shared responsibility as a church, but we also have a very specific calling and purpose, each one of us individually. And the Lord knows who you can touch, who you can influence, where you can be best suited and used to advance the kingdom of God. Find that place. Ask the Lord, Lord, open my eyes and open a door of utterance. Give to me an opportunity to speak to someone that needs to know about the Lord. Now, if you pray that kind of prayer and you're very sincere and you're very committed to follow through and to do what what you've committed to do, I can assure you that the Lord will answer that prayer. He'll answer that prayer, and he'll give you opportunities that you couldn't ever have imagined if you will follow through with this calling and this commission that our Lord has given to every one of us. I believe the Great Commission is for every believer. It's not for those that are just good talkers. It's not just for those who have the gift of evangelism. You know, it's not just for a few, select few. I understand some have more maybe of a natural ability, and I understand that, but still God puts you in places and gives you opportunities if you sincerely desire to be used of the Lord. because he wants that message to get out there. He wants the gospel to be proclaimed, and he wants to use you to accomplish that great commission. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Every one of us with that kind of a calling that's resting upon our hearts. I believe that if we take and focus our attention upon reaching someone, just think about this month of March and ask the Lord, Lord, could you help me to influence one person in the month of March? Now, if all of this group here did that, it would be quite a notable thing. You would see something going on. There'd be a movement going on in the house of God if we all took it to heart, amen, and decided that we were going to bear this responsibility and do something about it. And really, it's such a great honor that the Lord has called us and given us the privilege of being a part of this kingdom work. Amen. We are so privileged that he wants you involved. He wants every one of us to find our place and to realize that we are working with God. We're working for God. Wherever we go, we're representing him, representing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everywhere that we go, we're partnering with him in this wonderful kingdom work. Praise God. If this group here, whatever, 28 or 30 of us that's here, if all of us determined, Lord, would you help me? And you pray sincerely, Lord, help me this month of March. Let this be a month, Lord, that there is some new life around here. New spiritual life by new Christians, new converts that are walking around this place and in our altars and in our services, in our Sunday school. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing, hey, to see that begin to happen? Otherwise, what we're going to do is we're just going to sit here and just wait and say, well, I hope we have some visitors walk in today. I hope that there's somebody comes in that's interested in the Lord and the things of the Lord. I don't think that's at all what the Lord has called us to do, just to sit around here and wait and hope. I know that God sends people in, but I think that primarily we have the calling to go through some open doors and to reach people for the glory of God. The best use, I love this little quote, the best use of your life is to spend it for something that outlasts it. Amen. The best use of your life is to spend it for something that will outlast your life. Quite frankly, everything else, I mean, houses are temporary, cars are temporary, clothes are temporary, everything around us, you and I, we're even temporarily in this world. The only thing that's going to last is what is invested in the kingdom of God. Amen. What we have done to touch the lives of people. So the best use of your life, the best use of your time, your energy, your resources, is to make an investment in something that's going to last even when you're gone. That the kingdom of God is going on and going forward, and lives are being affected for the kingdom's sake. Amen. We were not placed here in this world just to, you know, go through our day. I don't know. Just think about what you do with your day. Get up in the morning, wash your face, hopefully. Brush your teeth, hopefully. And all those necessary items to get prepared for the day. I don't know what. Drink your coffee. I don't know what you do, but most everybody has a little routine that they go through, and hopefully it includes, you know, God and the Word of God and prayer throughout your day. But just think about your day and all the, you know, the time that you spend, and then evaluate what part of my day is going to matter in the kingdom? What part of my day is really, really going to make a difference after? I believe that the Lord has called us to not just be, I love the church and I love what that the fact that we were called out, but the scripture here says that we have been sanctified. We're not of the world. But he said, Lord, don't take them out of the world, because in the world they are there, that righteous influence that's there. Don't remove them from the world. Keep them from the evil of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Keep them from the evil. But keep them in the world. Keep them influencing and touching the world. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Just as Jesus came into the world, and those, especially those years of his earthly ministry. But actually, I'm convinced that every day and every week and every step and every word and everything that he did was all a part of a plan in the kingdom. All a part of the fulfilling of the plan of God. I must be about my Father's business. And he understood that. I've got to do what I'm sent to do. In all the days that he had in this world, he spent it for the kingdom's sake. I noticed just recently, I was reading about different people who made such an impact in our world. How many of them died very, very young. It's an amazing thing. Even many of the missionaries that made such an impact in our world, some of them were not even in their 30s when they died. Some of them very, very young when they died. But they made such, John Hyde, I think, was only 28, 29 years old. And others were so young in their life. But they used the time they had, and they made such an impact on the kingdom that we still read about them. We still admire their commitment to God, their commitment to what they're doing. So Jesus said, "We are sent by him into the world." So we are not to be a part of it. We're not to be influenced by it. We need the help and the grace of God so that the evil of this world doesn't affect us. But yet we're still to be out there. Amen. You know what happens when you become a Christian? You gradually start breaking your contacts with your unsaved friends. And it's a natural thing that happens. You start backing away from unsaved people because you've got saved and they want to do things you don't want to do anymore, and they want to live in a certain way so you don't feel comfortable around them and they don't feel comfortable around you. So you gradually drift apart. And before long, you have a whole new circle of friends and associates, and those are your Christian friends. And the longer that you are in the church, many times, the less likely will be that you will try to go out and penetrate the world, because you've got your own new circle. If those friends and family, if they didn't respond at first when you got saved, after a certain span of time, you just kind of drifted away, and they drifted away from you, and so the world, you don't have much to do with the world. And we could all say, well, that's good, we don't need to be of this world. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the system of the world and the wickedness of the world. But he absolutely has called us to be out there in the world, interacting in the world. Amen. Amen. We can't withdraw as the church completely, and we have a tendency to do it. We can't just withdraw when we have been called to penetrate the world, to influence the world, to make a mark out there in the world. So let's ask the Lord. Lord, this on this first day of the month of March, Lord, in this month, would you help us? Help us, Lord, to see a door open. And when the door opens, give me the courage and the anointing to be able to go through that door, to talk to people, to witness to them, to pray for them, to be used of God to influence them. for righteousness' sake. Hallelujah. Amen. We first, our general attitude toward the world is can't mix with the world, can't be a part of them, can't fraternize, with the world. We have to separate ourselves from sinners. Yes, we do. We have been sanctified by the truth, but then at the same time, the sanctified ones are the sent out ones. The called out ones, those sanctified by the truth are also to be the called out ones. And that's really an apostolic ministry. Whenever we begin to step out, go out, begin to touch the lives of people for the glory of God. Amen. Remember that wherever you go, you always are going to have the power of His Spirit with you. You're not going alone. You go in the power of the Spirit of God, and you're able to accomplish and do what you could not have done because of the power of the Spirit of God. This is the prayer that He prayed for His disciples, and it's also a prayer for you and I as disciples of Jesus all these many, many years later. Amen. What do you say? Let's pray about this. Let's ask the Lord to open doors for us. Give us opportunities. Commit yourself. I'll go through the door, Lord. You open the door, I'll walk through it. And let's just see how God will work through us this month of March. Would you stand with me? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let's take this time right now just to pray individually and, of course, corporately. Pray together that the Lord would open doors for us. Amen. Lord, we just thank You, Lord, that You have allowed us to be a part of advancing the kingdom of God. Oh, God, we're so grateful. We're so grateful, Lord, that You care about Your people. So, Lord, I just pray that You'd stir up the hearts of men and women and young folks in every age group, Lord, here in this congregation tonight. Speak to our hearts about the possibilities, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have a vision to see, Lord, that if we walk through the door that You open, there's mighty things that You can do to bring about changed lives. Lord, for the sake of Your kingdom, Lord, for the sake of the lost, Lord, that have no hope outside of Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray that You would use every individual in this sanctuary here tonight, the young folks, Lord, and every age group, Lord, that we would be stirred, Lord, to see the possibility of what You desire to do among Your people. Lord, I just thank You, Lord, that You've allowed us to be a part of Your calling and Your mission. And help us, Lord, to be willing to just get in step with what You are doing in these last days. Oh, God, and we thank You for it. We thank You for it. Answer this prayer, Lord, the same prayer of the Apostle Paul. Lord, I just ask You, Lord, to give us a door of utterance that we might proclaim the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless.